Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said some of us may feel that life is a terrible disappointment, yet we want to stay here and be disappointed as long as we can. We appreciate this opportunity of Bible study today. We're glad that you're listening, and please tell others about the Bible Meditations program. All right, we return now to our discussion. We were talking about the fact that sometimes people believe there is too great a price paid in being a Christian. And they complain because, well, I have to give some of my time to God. It costs me some money to be a Christian. Or I have to do some things if I'm going to be a Christian. And so they complain about what is required of them. The price, evidently for them, is too high. But sometimes they fail to realize the other side of the issue. They don't realize there is a price paid by not being a Christian. And that price is far greater than one that we would imagine anyone would want to pay. We were looking at the life of a man named Samson. Samson was one of the judges of Israel. They had a number of judges, and each of those judges was a military leader who helped the children of Israel when they got themselves into all kinds of problems. Well, Samson was a man who decided he would live and do the things that he wanted to. And so his life was filled with a number of things that were improprieties and contrary to what he ought to be doing, what was righteous and right. And he had a price that he had to pay. He comes down to the end of his life. His hair is cut in violation of a vow that he had made. And so his strength was gone. As a result of that, he was taken by the Philistines, their major enemy at that time, and they decided they would make sport of him. So they put out his eyes, and the time comes that they're gathered together to offer their worship unto their god, Dagon, and of course they think it would be a great thing to bring Samson in and humiliate him in this way, and so that's what they did. Samson, however, at that time pulled down the pillars of a house, and a number of them were killed as a result of it. But look at the price that he paid. Sin cost Samson his eyesight. Because he had done the wrong thing and he didn't do what he should have been doing, he paid the price. His enemies put his eyes out. Now, blindness is a terrible thing, and all of us are aware of that. But here's a man who had no eyes because a direct result of the sin that he had committed and of the folly that had been in his life. What a price to pay. You know, there are ways that sin blinds us today. Though it may not take our eyesight away from us in the same violent manner as with Samson, yet our eyesight can be taken away by Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not." The God of this world blinded their eyes. In other words, it's possible for a person to see something and yet not see. So when Jesus taught parables, he indicated that the parables for some people, though they were seeing, yet they didn't see, and though they were able to hear, they didn't really hear. In other words, their senses were dulled by sin. Well, here's the idea. Sin is a result of Satan tempting us to do the wrong thing, and so we become blinded to things that we ought to be able to see. Now think about this. Some people are blinded today to the evidence of God's existence. You remember a few years ago when one of the Russian astronauts went up into outer space, And then he came back, and he said when he was up there, he looked around, and he didn't see God. Therefore, the conclusion is, there is no God. Well, he was blinded to the very things that he should have been seeing. He didn't see what he should have seen. He may have had eyes and may be able to look out, but he wasn't comprehending the evidence of God's existence at that particular time. Let me ask you something. The scientist who did the planning for sending astronauts into orbit, did they depend upon the God of heaven to maintain, sustain all things as they are, or did they do this as a matter of chance? I've used this illustration before, perhaps you'll remember it, but think about an astronaut going out into outer space and deciding, as the trip is planned, he's going to land on the moon. And he gets out there into outer space, and all at once, when he fires the rockets that would take him down and send him down on the moon, all at once the moon moves. Matter of chance. It just happens that way. And there's no design behind it. There isn't anything that keeps it from moving. It's just a matter of chance. So all at once, the moon moves over, and the rocket has no place to land. Well, that's foolish, isn't it? But it signifies the fact that those who depend so heavily upon God's holding things as they were, they simply fail to realize that God, if it were a matter of chance and God wasn't involved, that moon might not be there. Things might move around. There might be some sort of an explosion that would put a couple of planets together and everything thrown into turmoil. But they depend upon the God of heaven sustaining all things as they are. You ever hear anybody say, well, in 75 years we're going to have a comet, Halley's Comet? You ever hear anybody say, well, you can expect this eclipse of the moon to occur, and then they'll tell when it's going to occur? How do they know that, if everything is a matter of chance? My friends, there is so much uniformity in the universe about us, a man must be blind spiritually to not be able to see God in those things. I believe very clearly there is a God, and I believe that the evidence very clearly makes known that you and I did not just happen. Could you imagine this world with all of its design just happening as a matter of chance? Well, a man named Samson lost his eyesight because of sin. Some people are blinded to the evidence that God exists by sin. We do appreciate studying with you this week. We hope that you'll listen again tomorrow, and we remind you in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to